You've heard all about this whole paleo thing, but you've wondered if it's really for you. You've been searching for someone to guide you along the way. Your search is over. Let registered nurse Marie Grace Berg lead the way with these inspiring stories of people who have been where you are. Welcome to Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy with Marie Grace Berg.
Have you ever wondered why you're having a hard time losing weight? Eat More, Burn More is focused on helping you transform your body into a fat-burning mode by turning off the hormone that sabotages your fat loss. Go to eatmoreburnmoresystem.com to learn more. All right, paleo fans out there, let's get started. I am excited to introduce you our amazing guest for today, Richard Nicolay. Richard Nicolay is the creator and resident blogger at freetheanimal.com, which talks about how to free yourself to reach your best potential in all areas of life. That includes health, fitness, finances, social interaction, and how you think about all of them. Richard is also an author of the book, Guess What? Free the Animal, How to Lose Weight and Fat on the Paleo Diet, and it's available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. We are thrilled to hear his story as we take him back to his journey when he first started living the paleo lifestyle. To our paleo fans, Richard Nicolay. So let's get started. What made you decide to go paleo or to follow the tenets of living the paleo lifestyle?
Well, it was Marie, thank you for having me, and I hope to give back for your readers and listeners. It's a complex question because I didn't just wake up one day and say, "Oh, paleo." What I did was wake up one day and said, "I'm really screwed up, and I have super high blood pressure. I'm on many medications. I was about 46, 47 years old at the time. I'm 53 now, and I just said, you know, I've got to do something. My primary focus at the time was blood pressure." Which was, I got one of those monitors and I checked myself, and every time I checked I was like about 160 over 110, which is super high, and I didn't want to take medication. My father was on blood pressure medication for years, and some of his brothers, so I figured there's a familial aspect to it. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know, well, why don't I do something different and see if there are ways to reduce it? And it turns out through the wonder of the internet, one thing kept coming up, and that was lift really heavy weights, which is counterintuitive, because if you're lifting heavy weights, you're thinking you're stressing, so that would make your blood pressure worse. But in fact, it's exactly the opposite. And within 2 weeks, I was down to going to the gym and I'm talking not doing curls with Tinta. I'm talking really getting on weights and really lifting them hard, really exerting yourself. The lowest blood pressure I would measure was 30 minutes after doing that. And I'm like, whoa. So everybody is wrong about everything. I mean, that is really the one thing I point to in, like, everybody, you know, there's all this stuff out there and the people think all these things, but I've just shown for myself that one thing at least is really, really wrong. And it's wrong in a very, very bad way. Just pop pills rather than going out and doing something that maybe we had done, maybe people had done, you know, whether if they had to build shelters and lift heavy logs or whatever, you know. And that doesn't even get into the cause of what caused my blood pressure, which is that I was 60 or 70 pounds overweight at the time. But it told me, there is something wrong with the information we're being shown. And And so I from that, that's what started it. And so I went to the gym and I blogged about it, and someone told me about a guy named Art Devaney who has a book called The New Evolution Diet, but he was one of the first guys back then who were promoting paleo and an evolutionary approach to diet. And so that's how it started. So one thing led to another, but that's how I didn't just come up. I was trying to solve a problem. I knew nothing of paleo. So I hope that answers the question.
Oh, absolutely. So it started with your wanting to manage your blood pressure. So wow, I commend you for doing that. And you opted to follow a natural way of lowering your blood pressure instead of just what you said, just like popping pills and like that. And I like your approach in like doing those exercise and heavy lifting, which really is it's very strange for other people to hear it. Like what you said is counterintuitive, but actually it isn't. And then that led to you in finding the paleo diet, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. One thing led to another, and then once I saw that, it's like, okay, so I have done one little thing to improve one little thing, but I still have a bunch of problems. And so then I started looking at blogs and stuff, and I'm like, okay, so then obviously I've got the physical part of it kind of settled, but how about the dietary part of it, you know? And so that's really how it went into paleo. And the only reason I'm here talking to you now is that this was 2007, and I'd already had a blog that had a pretty good readership since 2003. And so I started blogging about it. So by virtue of getting a head start in having a bunch of readers who had read me for years, I ended up being, you know, one of the guys who were initially, you know, read in the early days of paleo. Since then, it's kind of been taken over by a bunch of people who only care about marketing and making money, but I've always kind of stayed true to my roots, which is I want to get up every day and figure out what I'm going to write about today to maybe enjoy it myself and help people if that's possible.
So you're really one of the pioneers there, because I can imagine, I mean, nowadays, there are more and more people who are aware of the paleo approach to nutrition. But imagine way back then in 2007, I can imagine that paleo was like a strange word.
Yeah.
Now, well, can you, yeah, sorry.
Oh, no, go, no, no, you, I don't want to jump in here.
No, I was going to ask you on if you can walk us through your transition from non-paleo to paleo. You know, when you decided to follow the paleo approach to eating, can you share us how did you do it?
Are you talking about what my life was, my personal situation was like before I even started? Or did I cover that already?
You touched base some of it, but yeah. You're welcome to touch, more.
Well, give me just a minute, because everybody is coming from a different place in that, you know, whether they have, you know, I don't even have kids, but yet some people are just, you know, they, it's hard to manage, and it really puts a pressure on their lives or their jobs or something. And so I'm here to complain that I was an entrepreneur and I had a company with 30 employees. So you can feel sorry for me about that. But that's really what led to it is because I kind of had a certain hubris I've got all this stuff and all this money coming in and everything. So I'm going to hire some guy to run it. And I've always wanted to learn about trading in markets. So I did that. I hired a guy to run the company, and I started trading options on the internet, you know, day trading stuff, and I actually was really good at it. Sometimes 30% gains in 1 month. The thing is it was killing me. I mean, the stress, you have to be on it. I would wake up in the middle of the night, you know, 2-3 o'clock, and I would get up and go on the computer to see what the European markets were doing, because they opened before they opened about 8 hours before the other ones. And so I gained tons of weight, was way drinking too much. All of these things led to it. So I just wanted to mention that because everybody has their own story about where they get to a place where they have to say, look, I'm committing slow suicide. You know, it's not like it's not putting a gun to my head or taking poison or popping a bunch of pills, but it's still kind of suicide, and you have to stop. And so I think this is about one way that you can look and say, you know what, this really makes a lot of sense, and it worked wonders for me. So I just wanted to, before we moved on, put that out to be, because I'm sure you're going to have a lot of listeners. Everybody's story is different about what causes their personal despair.
Right, absolutely. And thank you for sharing that your story with it. I mean, having a stressful job and got overweight, and then, you know, sometimes when we are really stressed with the job, the last thing that we will think of is our health. So it's really important that our listeners take that into consideration. You really like to look at yourself and be aware and of what's happening around you, and then hopefully
that's a really good point, because people are saying, people look at these kind of stressful situations, and to their I mean, it's very sweet of them, right? Mm-hmm. Because no matter how bad it gets, they're always thinking about others, right? Mm-hmm. And then they beat themselves up for their own failings, because they're getting unhealthy, they're tired, they're fatigued, they're disappointed in their appearance. They don't feel themselves attractive to another person, whether it be a spouse or a prospect. Mm-hmm. So this can be debilitating, and so many people just suck it up and say, no, you know, I've got to do more. I've got to do more for my parents. I've got to do more for my kids. I've got to do more for my friends and family in general. And sometimes you need to just stop and take care of yourself, so that you can be more effective in helping these others, these people that you love, and that you can be around longer to do it.
Yeah, I think that's the irony behind this. I mean, we tend to give more of ourselves to others and neglecting ourselves, which is so sad.
Yes.
Now,
exactly.
Did you have a vision that drove you to succeed following the paleo lifestyle?
Yes, I did. The vision and here's what I would suggest to anyone who hears this is that the vision might happen on day one, or it might happen on day 30. But if you really give yourself a chance, I think you have a really great chance to get that vision, because it may happen on that first day, may happen on day 30. For most people, a week to 2 weeks. And you're going to say, if you really, really, really follow it, meat, fish, fowl, vegetables, and fruits. And I even say now, don't even worry about the starches, as long as they're good starches, like Filipino garlic fried rice, for example, mm-hmm. or something like that. I love it. I do. I cook it myself. But what is it? Singanaha? I forget. You can correct me. But anyway, I would say that you just have to give it a try. And the biggest thing is to avoid the stuff in packages, cans, frozen, da da da. Just eat real fresh food for a few months, and maybe you get a vision. I think most people do, and especially if you're suffering from any of those issues that I just talked about, mm-hmm. You can say, well, you know what, this is really different, and I don't feel anymore like I'm just like one of the people in a herd of cattle just going along with everybody else. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So did you have to, what did you do when you start? Did you have to like completely remove those non-paleo foods in your diet, or how did you go about doing it? Like, did you start, for example, day one, oh, I'm gonna substitute this for this, or did you went all the way up?
And it was very easy for me, and okay. because I've always been a cook, and even with my wife, I do 99% of the cooking, mm-hmm. I just like to do it. If you on my blog freetheanimal.com, if you go to the recipe sections, you can see, and that's just a little bit of it. So I was always in the kitchen. So to the extent that I cooked, it was always usually pretty good food. So basically, it was for me. It was simply, because I cooked, so I would allow myself a lot of times. I love fast food. I really do. I love them all. You know, McDonald's, anything. I love it all. In terms of taste, I just do. So that's an admission right there. But so it was a matter of cutting out that pizza deliveries, submarine sandwiches, or I never really made crap. I've never really had much of a sweet tooth for candy. Mm-hmm. You know, I eat some candy when my wife, she's a school teacher, so she gets showered with candy on like Christmas vacation, and just now recently she's on vacation right now and got a whole thing, and I put it all in a bag. I said, here, take it with you, give it to the kids. They still have healthy metabolisms. It was a gift, so I couldn't really dump it, but I didn't want it around me. And I'm not, so the thing is, you know, clean out your pantry, get rid of the stuff, and just, like I say, it's very simple. You can count it off in your fingers. Meat, fish, fowl, vegetables, fruits. That's five, right? Yeah, you can toss in some nuts if you want and so on. But if you just, if you take those five, there's any number of things you can do. And so
right, so it was like it wasn't a hard transition for you, because first of all, you already loved to cook and you were really into cooking real food, which is really nice to know. And for our listeners who thinks it is hard, it isn't as hard as you might think. I mean, if we could just make those simple substitution like what you said, and then cut those processed foods in our diet, and then choose those real foods or whole foods that are close to nature.
Exactly.
Now, how did you keep yourself motivated and continue following this paleo approach to living?
It's always up and down. It was pretty easy at first, because you're losing weight. And the thing is, I always kept trying to find new things. And my blog is Free the Animal, so I'm about doing I'm about doing, keeping, learning, keeping to, still learning, still looking, still learning. So mm-hmm. I thought, okay, so an animal nature, you probably ought to have some hunger. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing a little bit of fasting, and then I saw even better results and even better things in terms of getting off medications. But that gets very complicated because you get into things like inflammation and so on. And people who are just starting out paleo, this is something they maybe want to look at later, is inflammation. Paleo helps, but you also have to give your body, I think, a rest. Just like any animal in nature doesn't just eat three meals a day, so there's some push-pull in terms of the genetics, in terms of the metabolism, in terms of kind of exercising your metabolism. I look at it that way. It's metabolic exercising, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you go without food for a day, sometimes two, that exercises your metabolism. And that doesn't mean you under-eat. That means that instead of eating a certain amount of food over 7 days, you eat that food in 5 or 6 days, right? And so I'm not talking about chronic under-eating. That gets you into whole another bad areas. So these are some of the things that kept me going with it, because I kept discovering things and tried it out, and some things worked.
Right, and I like the fact that you said that you continue learning from other experts and other and research out there, and finding other ways to improve this approach. Because I agree with you, life should be enjoyable, and there are new things every day. It's our responsibility to learn and then try those and incorporate them and see how it is, how our body responds to it.
Yes.
So, how did you measure your success? I mean, apart from lowering blood pressure, getting back your weight, are there any benchmarks that you saw or that you had that you can tell yourself, like, oh, okay, this really works, kind of thing?
I love how you put that, because I think a lot of people, it's understandable. It makes sense, because everybody goes and they get their physicals and they get their blood work and they measure their different parameters and everything, and so they're trying to make sense of all these numbers, right? I don't know of a single healthy primitive person who would ever do that. And that's not to say it's bad. I think sometimes, you ever heard the term blinded by science?
Blinded by science. Yeah.
What? I'm sorry?
Yeah, blinded by science, you said?
No, blinded by science.
Blinded by science. Got it. No. Can you expound on that?
There's a song. What is it? It was back in the 80s. It's Thomas Dolby, I think, right?
Okay.
She blinded me with science. Go look up this one. It's hilarious. Yeah, throw it in your show notes when you do that. But I think people get into this, and it's not. I'm not trying to slam it. I'm trying to encourage people to have perspective, and to say, I have all this information, this data, the science available, but I also don't want to become rather hypochondriac, like oh, I had a bad reading. You went through your life all the way to this point, who knows how many quote bad readings of any particular thing you had all during your life, and and you were fortunate not to freak yourself out about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask people to have some perspective on the science and on the numbers. It's reasonable to check this stuff out, but I don't know that it is a good measure of your success. So with that introduction, I will tell you what in my view is a good measure of your success, and that would be how you feel.
Yes, I mean, I agree, success is relative, and it is how you feel. It's not just physical, but it's how you feel about your body, how you feel about your life, how you feel about yourself. So I am with you in that process, because a lot of people are hung up with, my weight is not changing, my body is, things like that.
Exactly. And, very early on, it was all kind of about losing weight and get abs and everything, if you look back to the earlier days, like I said, I'm 53 and I look back and some people were super skinny. Some people were a little bit chubby, and then there were a few who were, mildly obese. But as a kid growing up in the 60s and 70s, I don't recall the kind of like everybody's fat kind of thing. There was just a variation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody kind of, I think, accepted it back then. Well, like, okay, they're skinny, they're a little bit bigger, and it was not a big deal. But now it's like everybody is kind of getting kind of fat, especially in America. I mean, you can see it. It's you go to a mall, it's like crazy. And it started in the mid 80s. And coincidentally, when I graduated from college in 1984 became a Navy officer right away. My first tour was in Japan, so I spent 5 years there, and it was very interesting. Something I only analyze in the retrospect, because at the time I was like, I didn't really notice. But at the time, you have all of these older folks who are all lean. I mean, like 100%. You never saw an old fat person in Japan. Never. And then you ride the trains and everything, and you see this kind of obesity cropping up, and it was 90% young teenage girls.
Right. It's really sad, and that's why I guess we on this realm have a responsibility, or shall I say, I'm not sure if that's the correct word, but to create awareness and provide, information is out there. There's a ton of them, and I think the problem is being overwhelmed with too much information. But if we could just create awareness and help these people who are struggling with it, who wants to do it, but are struggling and they need guidance. I think that's the problem nowadays, that they need guidance because information is out there. I mean, there's a ton of them. I guess the guidance that we can provide them will help them make the right decision, and whatever that one is, if they wanna, about their health and their fitness overall. So thank you for sharing that and your perspective on that. Now, if there are three things that you want to share with our listeners who want to transition to the paleo-based diet today, what are those three?
Okay, real food. And it's really as simple as that. I've said meat, fish, fowl, vegetables, and fruits many times, but real food. Real food, number one. In terms of vegetables and everything, you will see a lot of stuff out in paleo that is rather low carbohydrate based. I would ask you to look at places like the Philippines and Indonesia, and China, where rice is a staple of food, and ask you how come those people aren't fat. It's because if you sit down in a little place in a barrio in the Philippines, they'll give you, you know, you can order a plate, and it has some nice rice, some chicken adobo, maybe some vegetables and everything, and you cut it all up with the spoon, and that is good eating, and you will look as beautiful as those people do when they eat their traditional natural diets. So to finalize my second point is that you not need to worry about starches so long as they're coming from rice, potatoes, and legumes. You know, if you're going to go to breads and sweets, and well, that goes into sugar, but all of the other kinds of carbohydrates, I should say, from breads and sugars and grains and all these sweet treats and everything, and processed foods where they combine all of this, all of these starches and sugars, and kind of what I call Frankenfats. You know, they're not like the chicken fat or the beef fat or the pork fat or the coconut fat or palm fat that people cook with traditionally, as in the Philippines and Indonesia and other countries like that. They're cooking it with like these seed grains that you actually, if you go way back, jet engines could not use petroleum oil or lubrication for the turbines because it would break down too quick. So actually vegetable oils were first developed for machinery. And so that's what you're eating, basically. Machinery lubricant when you eat your canola oil, your corn oil, your sunflower, all these oils. So the oils should be animal derived or at least vegetable derived, like coconut and palm or olives. So don't worry about the starches. Just eat the other thing. The third thing, and this is what I am into the biggest right now, is you have to pay attention to your gut biome. And by that I mean that in your intestines you have 100 trillion organisms, which are 10 times more than cells in your body. They have their own specific, there are 500 to 1,000 different species of bacteria, and they have a genome that is about 30 times bigger, more genes than your own body. They are at chemical war with each other in a balance, and it turns out that people living in their natural habitats where they do, and they're not obsessed with cleanliness, they get bacteria from the soils and from the soils, from fermented foods and things, and it makes an enormous difference. I and two collaborators are almost 400 pages into a book about the gut biome and how to treat it and feed it properly with foods, and it really looks highly as to how people in countries where we consider them primitive, but they're very healthy, how their gut biome, because you can actually test this now by taking stool samples and sequencing it with genes. It turns out that all the primitive people have way healthier guts than we do, because they live in a more natural or paleo kind of way. So that would be my big number three, I would say.
Wow, that's one of the most comprehensive lists of things that they can do today that I've listened to. So thank you so much. I learned a lot from that, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. So to summarize those three, One is to eat real food, which is a no-brainer. Two is about the starches. You don't have to be really strict on following the starches, as long as they both the starchy and non-starchy vegetables, for that matter. And the big thing for you is that you said about to pay attention to our gut bio, which it's really interesting, especially for those people who are suffering for autoimmune disorders, for example. This is a really, really sensitive topic for them, and I'm sure they'll get a lot from what you've just said. So are these things our listeners can find them in your blog? Can you tell us more? Tell us more about your Free the Animal blog that you have.
Okay. All right. So let me do it quick here. So Richard Nicolai has been blogging since 2003. I am kind of a, if I can use the word, a shit stirrer. So in 10 years now, I just had my 10th year and a blog anniversary back in November. And I looked and I said, wow, I have almost 3,800 posts. So if you do the math, that's an average of one post. Actually, I was a few posts over. It's one post per day over 10 years, right?
Wow.
Yeah, and it has over 70,000 comments. I get right now I'm getting about 150,000 visits per month and about 300,000 views of pages. And the comments are cool. Right now I am pretty focused on the health thing. But I caution everybody. I'm kind of weird, and I like social topics too. I like religious topics, and so you know that's why I try to categorize it. I would encourage people to say, you know, and I've had readers for years and years and years who don't like half what I post, but they like the other half so much that they stick around. So I doubt that I'm the perfect person for anybody, but I try to write posts that a person either loves or hates, either one. Mm-hmm. Either one, fine with it. If you love it or you hate it, because that gets to your passion. I don't like to write posts that people just look at and say, "Eh, who cares?" Right? So I'm always trying to push a button one way or the other. So I would ask people to understand that. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to engage you. And if you find it, you know, some people are probably going to go on there and they're going to hate, and they're going to say, "Oh, I don't want to read any longer." And that's fine. That's fine. But I can just tell you that I have so many people, they email me. They're like, "Richard, I hate you so much, but I can't stop reading because you do these things that I love so much too." So, you know, it's kind of like a family member, right?
There you go. I mean, sometimes we repel people, the others we attract, and that's their choice. As long as we're putting out valuable contents there that we know can benefit other people. So is that the freetheanimal.com, is that the best way that they can connect with you?
Yes, just freetheanimal.com, and you can comment, I talked about the gut biome. The best way to learn about that is if you go to that was my point number 3. If you go to freetheanimal.com, you look up at the menu on top. I have actually put up a menu item there called resistant starch. And that will, there's over 60 posts now, thousands and thousands of commenters, and over 1,000 people worldwide are actually trying this and reporting their results by using this special kind of starch. It's not something I'm selling, so I just want to, you know, I'm just putting it out there for people to look at. And actually, it's something that you can get from rice, especially if you cook rice and you cool it, and then you like make some garlic fried rice the next day with the cooled rice.
Yeah, that is a yummy. And by the way, to our listeners, all the fantastic resources and the links mentioned in today's podcast will be made available in a beautiful infographic show notes at transitioningtopaleo.com. You know, you just have to type in the name Richard on the search bar and it will find it for you. So, Richard, thank you so much. I'm really appreciative of you for being so generous in sharing your time and your inspiring story and for being a role model to many. And I also appreciate you bringing such a positive energy with our listeners today. The Paleo fans out there appreciate you and wish you more success in business and in your life.
And I wish them all the success. And that's what this is all about, right, Marie?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Richard. Talk soon. Did you know there is a hormone in your body that turns your belly into a magnet for ugly fat? It literally turns the food you eat into embarrassing, pant-stretching, stubborn belly fat, even the foods you think are healthy. Discover a simple test that reveals if the belly fat hormone is sabotaging your fat loss and learn the easy and natural ways to shut down this hormone for good so you can have the flat stomach you deserve. Go to eatmoreburnmoresystem.com to learn more.
Thanks for listening to Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy. Now it's time to get your quick and easy step-by-step guide to transitioning to the paleo diet. This beautiful free download includes the three most important things that you need to be focusing on in order to make the transition as smooth as possible. Ready to get started? Head over to transitioningtopaleo.com right now and begin your journey, and we'll see you next time.